Okay, well, yeah, here we go. Now, so it's a very interesting Torah portion. You know, in fact, this book is very interesting, Numbers. Numbers, Rabbi Allen mentioned it last week. Numbers is actually Bamidbar in Hebrew. That's the name in Hebrew. And Bamidbar doesn't mean numbers, it means in the desert. So this is when the children of Israel were in the desert. The book of Numbers is actually an account of 38 of the 40 years that the children of Israel were in the wilderness. So it's the vast majority of the time that they were in the desert. So really, these 38 years were anything but boring from a book standpoint and from a history standpoint. In the book of Numbers, we have things like murmuring going on. Of course, that was going on through the whole 40 years. We have major rebellion happening. We have the 12 spies. Remember the story of the 12 spies with the 10 and the 2? We have this crazy scene. And when I think about this scene, I always think about the Star Wars movie Return of the Jedi. Remember in Return of the Jedi when they go over and the ground swallows up and eats Boba Fett? Remember that? Who remembers that? That's the story of Korach when the ground swallows him up. Him and all the people that were rebelling. That's in the book of Numbers. And this Torah portion in general, Neso, the second portion in Numbers, actually has a lot of things going on in it. John spoke about one thing in Numbers 5. I'd like to talk through something. It's in Numbers 6. So turn with me to Numbers chapter 6 today. This is kind of what I felt led to speak about. And, you know, it's something. It's really something we do every week and something we say every week, but I really felt like the Lord was giving me something fresh about this. This is Numbers 6, 22 to 27, and it's commonly referred to as the Aaronic blessing or the priestly blessing. This is the blessing that Aaron, the first high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, said over the children of Israel, and he blessed them. And of course, when he blessed them, he did what Rabbi Allen did today, which is he did this, right? And this is, people know what this is, right? This is live long and prosper. This is the priestly blessing, you know? We think of live long and prosper because Spock in Star Trek actually took that because Spock, Leonard Nimoy, was raised as an Orthodox Jew and he would have known about that. Not many Jewish people actually even know about that. But he was raised Orthodox. He understood that. And that was what Aaron did when he said this blessing. So let's read Numbers 6, 22 to 27 and start off. This is going to be our text for today. The Lord spoke to Moses, verse 22, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." So that's what I want to talk about today. And I'm reading, just so everybody knows, I know we have different translations. I'm reading from the ESV translation of the Bible. So if you're an ESV, you can go word for word with me, but that's the translation that I typically use, the ESV translation. And today, I want to talk about this. Really, I think it's an amazing and powerful blessing, and there are hidden nuggets. But the problem is, when you have things that you say all the time or that you've memorized, sometimes the meaning or even the effectiveness wears away a little bit. So I want us to look at the priestly blessing, the Aaronic blessing, with fresh eyes today, because I think there's a lot that can really speak to us. And if you look at the blessing itself, it's really six verses long. And it's written in three sets of two phrases. And like much of the Bible, this is written in poetry style, right? So you have a lot of parallelism and you have a lot of things that are repeated. Now, the thing about when God repeats things in the Bible, when he repeats things in the Bible, even though he doesn't repeat it exactly with these three stanzas, it is very similar. And when God repeats something in the Bible, we really have to take note. When he says it once, it's important because the Lord said it and it's in his word. When he says it twice, it's even more important. And when he says it three times, you need to really stop and listen, right? Remember in the book of Isaiah when he says, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We sang it today. Holy, holy, holy. It wants us to know that God is exceptionally holy, that we have to stop and take note for his holiness. He is set apart. He is holy. So God does this. He repeats things for emphasis. And this blessing is emphasized. So there's something special and there's something important that we need to understand, or several things that we need to understand about this blessing. And this blessing is so widely known, like I said, sometimes it loses its effectiveness. I want to give you one quick story that I had recently with this blessing. So many of you know, we were in Savannah the last 5 years. We started a congregation there. But while I was the rabbi in Savannah and I started the congregation, I was also in the private sector too, right? I was also in the business world. And I worked at this tiny little company called Gulfstream in Savannah. And we made planes. We made airplanes. And so when I was there, as I was leaving Gulfstream, you know, I worked with a lot of people over 5 years. I think we reorganized my department 5 times in 5 years. So I had several bosses. I had several people that worked for me. But I did have one employee that worked for me. And I remember, and he, the thing about this employee, and this was when I was leaving, the thing about this employee was he was a strong believer in the Lord. Okay, he actually worked for me for a time, then we were colleagues. And when I sent out the little email saying, goodbye, I'll miss you, all right, you know, he wrote back to me an email. And the email simply said the Aaronic blessing. It was the Aaronic blessing. And it was very special because he and I, you know, he is an elder in his church up in the Savannah area. And we had some great talks over the years, and we really connected. And you know, when you're in the business world, not everybody's a believer, right? Not everybody follows the Lord. So when you find someone that follows the Lord, whether they work for you or work with you, there's a bond, there's a special connection you have. And so when he wrote that back to me, it was very special. And this blessing is very special. It's so special that throughout the ages, it's been in different places, not just in the Bible. Just a couple of examples. This blessing was actually found in a burial cave in Jerusalem in 1979. You know how they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in like the 40s? Well, they found this blessing in a cave. They found the words of this blessing inscribed on two silver amulet coins dating back to 600 BC. So this blessing has been around 600 BC. And 2019 when he sent it to me, right? So the blessing is out there, and it's out there for us today to take hold of, okay? And so it speaks to us today. So I want to take each of the three blessings because they are similar, but they're different, and they're special blessings for us. Blessing number one, let's start right there. Numbers 6:24. It's just simply one verse. Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. Very simple. We start out with the first blessing, and it's very general, okay? Very small or short and very general. And then as we go on with the other two blessings, they get more specific. And if you read commentaries from the sages, from the Jewish sages about this, they'll say that the first blessing, the short one, the one that begins, is more general in nature, and it really refers to more of the material aspect rather than the spiritual, okay? So it's a general blessing. It's more about Adonai's protection and blessing upon you, and it really does tie into the material or economical. It's not very much spiritual. It's like saying to somebody, be in health, or go in health, or be warm and well-fed, or something like that. It's mostly a greeting, very general in nature, and not very specific, and not very spiritual, but more material. Now, there is actually a quote in the Talmud that says, if there is no flour, there is no Torah. If there is no flour, what does that mean? What it means is, if you don't have the material things in life, you can't really even get to the spiritual. Because after a while, and I don't know how many days it is if we go without food and water, we can't function. And if you can't function, you can't receive the spiritual. So you need those material, those physical things. They're elemental. They're the basic things that you need before you can really function. So how many of you have seen those t-shirts that say something like, it's too early, I need coffee, right? Or stop talking to me, it's too early and I haven't had my coffee yet, right? That's what I think of when I think of this first blessing. You need those material things. You need the physical. You need to eat and to drink, okay? You need shelter. These are basic things. Clothing, okay? And that's really what this first blessing is all about. Now, in the Torah, this type of blessing, this type of material blessing, it's a conditional blessing for Israel. That means God does something if Israel does something. And what I mean by that is, let's go to some scripture. Deuteronomy 11:27. There's a lot of examples of this type of blessing in the Word. The blessing, and God's talking about the blessings of the Torah. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I command you today. But then the verse goes on to talk about if you don't obey, there's curses, right? We've heard about that. The blessings for obedience, the cursings for disobedience. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Okay? Following God, it's a conditional thing. And these material blessings are promised to Israel if they would obey the Lord. The whole idea of going into the land. If you go into the land and you follow my commandments and you obey me, if your heart is right before me, you'll stay in the land flowing with milk and honey. You'll have everything in abundance. But what happened in our history as Jewish people is when we disobeyed the Lord, we were taken out of the land, right? You had the Assyrian exile, you had the Babylonian exile. Israel repeatedly was in this cycle of obeying and disobeying God. And when they obeyed God, there was blessings, okay? There was blessings for them. So this first blessing is talking about that, material in nature. But now we go to the blessing number two, Numbers 6:25. And we go a little deeper. We go a little bit more specific. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. You see how that's more specific than, well, the Lord bless you and keep you. Okay, see you later. Have a great life, right? That's the first blessing. The second blessing, a little bit more specific. In this blessing, the Lord says he will make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. So another way of saying this is may the Lord illuminate, light up and shine on you. There's this idea of light, of illumination. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about light in reference to the Lord shining his face on you, the Lord illuminating his word to you. Let's look at Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way to life. God equates light with instruction. God equates light with his word, with reading his word. So now we're not just talking about the material things that you need, you know, the coffee, the shelter, the whatever you need. Now we've got that and we can go deeper. We can go spiritual now. Now we get into the Lord illuminating the word for us, shining his light of his word on us. And we know the word of God, right? The word of God manifests itself as Yeshua. He was the Word in Genesis 1, and John 1 talks about how the Word became flesh, right, and dwelt among us. So God's Word illuminates this dark world that we live in. We are in darkness, and then his face comes and shines on us and illuminates his Word for us. And the Word of God is simply instructions for right living. We talk about the Torah, but all of Scripture is illumination of God's ways, of God's character, of God's nature, to light up the darkness of this world, okay? It lights up the darkness of this world. It gives us instructions for right living. It goes beyond the elemental. It goes beyond the physical and the material and gets us to the threshold of the spiritual. We read in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, about how God created the world. He created the heavens and the earth. And what does the text tell us? The language that the text uses is, everybody knows it, let there be light. Light. Illumination. If you think about, and it's sometimes it's just hard to think about this, but in Genesis 1, before God created the heavens and the earth, it was complete darkness. And then, poof, God opens up the light. You ever walk into a room and it's completely dark and you flip the light switch and it's like, ah, your eyes, you know? Because it illuminates the whole room. That's what the Word of God should do to us. That's what the power of the Word of God is. And there's a lot of references in the Word about light and illumination of our lives. Psalm 27 is titled this, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Okay? God is tied to light. Light is tied to instruction and direction. And instruction and direction are tied to blessing. The word of God is a blessing to us. We read about it all the time. We receive the blessings from God by reading his word, by the word illuminating us. Okay, so we're going deeper here. And of course, the most famous scripture about light, to me at least, is Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay, his word is life to us, it's light to us, and it is blessing to us. And now we can go to the third and final blessing. And this one's even more specific. Number 626. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So in the second blessing, God's face shines on us. He illuminates us with his word. In the third blessing, it says that he actually turns his face toward you and I. Okay? He turns his countenance upon us. The word countenance is another word for face. He turns his face toward us, is what the word says. And of course, the Hebrew word for face is panim. Now, panim, face, is a very personal word. Okay? If someone's looking at you and they're shining, they're directing you and they've got their face pointed towards you and they're looking at you, that's a personal thing. That's not just God's just doing things in the world. He's focused on you. He's lifting up his countenance upon you. He's lifting up his face towards you, okay? And this panim is very personal. This is meant to be a blessing where God is standing before you and looking right at you. Very specific. And he's looking right at you and I, and he's pronouncing a blessing on you. That's how specific this last blessing is, and that's how personal. Can you imagine that the God of creation is standing directly in front of you with his face front looking at you, and he's speaking this blessing to you? That's what this blessing is about. Amen. Now, this last blessing is not about prospering economically or materially. It's not about even getting knowledge. All those things are good, first and second blessing. But this is like the climax, right? This is the big part here. This is what it's all about. Those things are nice, but when God shines his countenance upon you, and then we're going to get to when he gives you peace in a minute, you know it's personal. This is how our relationship with God is always supposed to be as Jewish people and as the whole world. It was supposed to be a personal encounter where God is walking around the Garden of Eden, looking at you and me, and greeting us, and blessing us, and breathing life into us every single day. This is what we were truly created to have, which is fellowship with him. Amen. So while it's great to be blessed economically, wonderful, while it's great to be blessed with a lot of knowledge, blessing number two, the best thing is when you can be blessed with a relationship face-to-face with a personal God. That's what this is all about. We were created to worship God, but also to have fellowship with him. God didn't create us as robots. That's very evident by the fact that most of humanity has turned their faces against God all these years. So God in his mercy has created us to make a choice to turn our faces towards him, or to turn away from him in disgust. And unfortunately, many people have turned their faces away in disgust. Much of the world through much of history. We were created to have fellowship with God and to worship with him. We were created to be with him in the Garden of Eden. And you know, one day we're going to get back to that awesome, personal, face-to-face relationship with God, right? In the kingdom. We're not in the kingdom yet. Sometimes it feels great. We're on the mountaintop experiences, but then you turn around and all of a sudden there's a valley. This is not the kingdom. But the kingdom is when we're face to face with God and he's pronouncing blessings on us continually. That's going to be pretty awesome. Now, when it says, may he lift up his countenance on us, this is really interesting here. One of the Jewish sages, Rashi, says it like this. May he suppress his anger towards you. When he lift up his countenance upon you, May he not be angry towards you. That's an interesting way to say that, right? That means even if God is angry at you and I, he still turns his face towards us. And why would God be angry with you and I? Because of sin, right? Sin is simply separation from God. God can't fellowship with sin. That's why we had to be cast out of the Garden of Eden, because we willfully and voluntarily turned our face, turned our countenance away from God. But even then, this is how great God is. He still turns his face towards us. And it's strange because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve him to turn his countenance upon us and pronounce blessing to us, but that's what he's doing. But there's something that's allowing him to connect back with us, because sin is serious. Sin is why there was a flood. Sin is why we went into exile as a nation. Sin is why we have all sorts of craziness in this world today, in a dark, cold, decaying world. So something or someone is still connecting us back to a God who, even in our sin, turns his face towards you and I and wants to pronounce blessing. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about how serious the sin is. Romans 3, 10 through 12. And it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about that. One of the ones I like to refer to a lot is Genesis 6, 5, when, and I always like to say, after just five chapters, God can't find anything good in humanity, because every thought of his heart is always evil. And we know how the scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things. We have a major problem, and it's called sin, and it does separate us from God. But curiously, God still has this connection with us. Now, the Torah speaks about this connection that I don't understand. We don't understand because we've got sin, we have separation from God, but yet there's this turning of his face towards us. The prophets speak about this connection, but and even the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, speaks about it. So I'm going to use a couple of scriptures, and they'll be from the New Covenant, just to talk about this connection. And this connection we're going to talk about, interestingly enough, the language used is that of light. Remember light. John 1:9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is the connection we're talking about. And again, it's that of light. This connection, this light, is that which illuminates for us the Word and the Lord. And of course, the light is Yeshua. Yeshua the Messiah. He is the connecting point, because we in our sin do not deserve to be in front of God with him pronouncing blessing on us. So somebody's almost got to stand in front of us or be in us, around us, so that God would turn his face towards us. And that light is Yeshua. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and salvation. So light is tied to salvation, okay? Yeshua is light, John 1:9. But Yeshua is also salvation. What does Yeshua mean in Hebrew? It's a Hebrew word that means salvation. It means God with us. So you can't separate the light and the salvation, the Psalm 27 connection here. Literally, his name means is translated as salvation. Now, if we turn to John chapter 8, verse 12, we read this. And again, Yeshua spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's not just light so you can walk around and do well in this life. That's not just light so that you can get ahead in life or have wonderful, you know, fellowship with people. That's light that leads to life. That's light that leads to connection and relationship with God. The Lord lifts up his countenance on us, and he turns toward us for life, because we have Yeshua. Because we have Yeshua in our lives. And Yeshua, of course, was sinless. So God can interact with Yeshua. And if we have taken on Yeshua, if we follow after Yeshua, if we're disciples and followers of Yeshua, we've got Yeshua within us, right? And so God can turn his face on you and I and pronounce blessing to us. Numbers 6:26 again. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, but there's more. There's even more. And give you peace. It's not just that God is lifting up his countenance. It's not just he's turning towards you and pronouncing blessing on you, because blessings are nice. But it's even more, because there's peace. Okay? This world, if there's one thing this world does not have, it's peace. And because this world does not have peace, they're chasing after everything they can find, right? And it's this thing now for 5 minutes. And oh, no, that got old, so now I'm going to go to this thing. And you just fill in the blank, whatever the world is chasing after. You can find it on Facebook and Instagram, right? You can find it out there, and it's the new flavor of the month. It's the new 15 minutes of fame. It's the new it person or whatever. But none of that gives you peace. There is lasting peace that is talked about in this last blessing. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you shalom. That's the Hebrew word. Shalom has many meanings. Shalom can mean hello. Shalom can mean goodbye. But really, the best definition of shalom is wholeness. Okay? This world doesn't have peace. This world doesn't have wholeness. But in Yeshua, you and I find a peace that goes beyond all understanding. It's a peace that Stephen had when he was being stoned in Acts. It's a peace that Paul and Silas had sitting in prison. And you know, those prisons were not fancy back then, okay? They were pretty nasty. No cable TV in prison, all right? Those kind of prisons. So he gives us wholeness, not just turning to us and blessing us. He gives us wholeness. So he turns to us wanting a relationship and also gives us peace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, redeemed, saved by faith, we have what? Peace. Peace with God. Only through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. This is really what it's all about. Relationship and wholeness. We are broken people, but God makes us whole. Yeshua makes us whole. Now, this is really the greatest blessing. This is better than any money in the world. This is better than anything that you could get materially. And this is better than any friendship with the world that you could ever have. This is true wholeness that will never go away. This is the greatest blessing. So when we say these blessings over people, when my friend sent me this email, it was very touching because I knew what it meant. It was meaning, may God bless you on your way. Because I probably won't see him again. But not only may he bless you, may you have wholeness in your life. May you have a relationship with the creator of the world. May his face literally shine on you and have a one-on-one interaction with him. Now that's a powerful blessing, isn't it? Amen. That's a powerful blessing. That's true peace. Now the last part of the text is number 627. And this is also interesting. So shall they put my name, God's name, on the people of Israel, and I will bless them. This is where God is actually saying, on the children of Israel, I am going to put my name on them. There's an ownership. There's a relationship. When a woman gets married to a man, what does she do? She takes his last name, in most cases, right? There's a name placed on her. And we know in the Jewish wedding ceremony, there's the ketubah. And you know, the ketubah is an interesting document because it's all about what the man has to do for the woman. There's nothing in there about what the woman has to do for the man. So the man's going to do this, 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 and this, and this for the woman. That's what God does for us. He puts his name on us. He's saying, I'm going to take care of you. All you have to do is trust in me. All you have to do is turn your face towards me as I turn my face towards you for blessing, for relationship, for wholeness. God wants to put his name on us. He's wanted to put his name on the children of Israel for years, and he wants to put his name, of course, his whole plan is the whole world and to have the whole world with him again. He wants to lead Israel back. That's what our ministry is about, to lead Israel back, but also to show the nations that there is a God in Israel, okay? And his son, Yeshua. This is really what Adonai wants. He wants to be reconciled with all of creation. And when it says, may he put his countenance on you. May he give you peace. He wants you to turn towards him because he's waiting to turn towards you and pronounce blessing on you. And I don't mean, oh, great, if I accept the Lord, I'm going to have, you know, health and wealth and happiness. That's not, the prosperity gospel is a false gospel. What you want is the wholeness of God. Amen. What you want is the peace that passes all understanding, whether you're rich, you're poor, you're middle class, whatever, whether you have a lot or a little, whether you have wonderful things going on in your life or a ton of problems or both, he wants you to have wholeness. These blessings are things that we can pronounce on other people. If you meet people, you can basically pronounce them with a blessing. This is what we want for the interactions that we have. This is what we want for the Jewish community here. And this is what we want for our families, our friends, for everyone here. And of course, this is what we want for Kol Mashiach. So we can either be a blessing and a curse to people, can't we? We have the opportunity to pronounce blessing on people, to look at people in the eye and bless them in the Lord. Bless them with this special blessing. So remember, God is looking to bless you. But are you like over here or are you like over here? Stand straight and let him shine his face on you. Let him do what he is wanting to do, which is to pronounce blessing on you. Why are you waiting to receive from him today? Let's pray. Lord, God of Israel, you are a just God. You're, of course, a fair God. You're everything that you spell out in your word, but you are a loving God. And even though we sin terribly, even though we have turned our faces against you so much, you're there with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand to take hold of us. You're there, Lord God, ready to pronounce blessing on us, ready to give us wholeness that can only come through Yeshua. There's nothing we can buy that will give us that wholeness. This is a free gift. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every person in here. And Lord, bless each and every one of us with your peace, with your shalom. Bless each and every one of us with a true relationship with you, Lord God. You say, ask, seek, and knock. Lord, we're asking, seeking, and knocking for more of you today. I pray, Lord God, that you would break through. If there's any blockage, Lord, if there's anything that's preventing us from turning our faces towards you, Lord, remove it even now. Help us, Lord God. Give us faith. Show us, because that light is shining so bright, and all we have to do is turn towards you, Lord God. So I just pray for every person here. Lord, if they've never accepted you before, I pray that you would draw them to you, just like we sang today. Draw us, Lord, because there's so much peace. There's so much joy in having that relationship. It's what you've wanted for us as a people all these years. The Jewish people is to have a relationship with you. And you're out there with outstretched arms waiting for us to turn our faces towards you, Lord. So shine your light on us today. Illuminate your word for us, Lord. Give us the things that we need to function. But Lord, please put your countenance and your peace and your wholeness upon all of Israel today and us here, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Shabbat shalom.